Mutiny on the Bounty. Captain Bligh, the South Seas, Pitcairn Island. Once more, those almost legendary figures of history come to life. For tomorrow, an expedition leaves New York for Pitcairn Island, and they take with them to that tiny dot in the vast Pacific the latest in modern radio equipment. Radio equipment which will bring Pitcairn Island nearer to the world and the world nearer to Pitcairn Island. And the radio equipment which they carry will enable the National Broadcasting Company audience to hear directly from these Pitcairn Islanders, and these will be exclusive NBC broadcasts. Down on that little island now is Andrew Young. He's a self-trained radio operator, and he is a direct descendant of Edward Young, who was a midshipman on His Majesty's ship Bounty. Young's radio set was given to him in 1920. It is this antiquated apparatus which will be replaced by the radio set which goes to the South Seas tomorrow. The National Broadcasting Company is happy to present tonight two members of that expedition to Pitcairn Island. They are L.S. Bellum, Jr., and Granville P. Lindley. Mr. Bellum has been an amateur radio enthusiast and radio engineer for many years. He's been associated with radio since 1919. Mr. Lindley was chief electrician of the Byrd Antarctic Expedition, and he will serve both as engineer and photographer for the expedition. Ladies and gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting an interview with L.S. Bellum, Jr. and Granville P. Lindley. Now, Mr. Bellum, could you tell us whether Pitcairn Island has any form of communication with the outside world other than through messages from ships that visit the port?
Yes, they have, Mr. Van. At the present time, a young man on the island by the name of Andrew Young is operating a small portable spark transmitter entirely powered by storage batteries. It is necessary to send these batteries to New Zealand to be recharged, and his receiving facilities consist solely of a crystal receiver such as you know of many years ago.
Well, what advantage will this new equipment have over the other in that will we be able to communicate very easily? Of course, the islanders will be able to communicate with the United States much easily.
By means of the high-frequency channels included in this equipment, the islanders will be able to contact practically any portion of the world under favorable conditions.
Well, will they be able to broadcast at any time?
Yes. They'll not be hindered by discharge storage batteries, since the equipment will be powered by a wind charger. That is a unit that is driven by wind pressure and furnishes charging voltage.
In other words, if the wind goes down, the radio broadcasting facilities go down, too.
That is correct, Mr. Van.
Now, how are you going to get there, Mr. Bellum?
We sail out of New York tomorrow, and the ship takes us to New Zealand by rather a devious route. We have to change ships at Panama with a six-day stayover. It'll take approximately 28 days to get there. We expect to arrive about March 1st.
And you're leaving when, did you say?
Tomorrow afternoon.
Well, tell me, this idea of this new radio apparatus there, how was it conceived?
Well, it's more or less of a humanitarian gesture. The radio operator on the yacht Yankee visited the island last year, and a story published, written by him and published in one of the radio trade papers, came to my attention. It depicted the conditions on the island and the conditions among the 200-odd inhabitants. They haven't the conveniences of most of us, and I thought it would be a nice gesture to help them out in this particular instance by giving them some modern equipment.
Well, have either one of you gentlemen ever been to Pitcairn Island?
Mr. Lindley has.
Oh, you have, Mr. Lindley?
Yes, I have, Mr. Van.
When was that?
I stopped at Pitcairn in 1935. I was on board the steamer Ionic, returning from New Zealand en route to New York from the last Byrd Antarctic expedition. I suppose you would like to know how Pitcairn Island appeared.
Yes, what were
to
your
me.
First impressions?
Well, Mr. Van, it's hard to describe. Pitcairn Island is so much different than the other islands in the South Pacific. It's very small, measuring only 2 miles in length and about a mile in width. It rises to a height of over 1,600 feet. And when we first sighted the island, it looked in the distance like a black cloud. There was the usual fog and mist that hovers in those latitudes and longitudes in the South Pacific. And as we came nearer and nearer to the island, we could see it was land that we were approaching. As the ship got closer to the island, we could hear this chanting, this voices, music. And then we knew it was the Pitcairn Islanders, or the natives, coming out to meet our ship. And we stopped the ship about 2 miles on the east side of the island and waited for the native boats to come out. The boats were about 30 foot long and very narrow, about 8 foot beam, and each boat had about 12 natives rowing. They carry sail in these small boats, but at that particular time there wasn't any breeze, so they had to row these boats out. Ladders were put over the side of the ship, and the natives scrambled aboard in great haste, because they know that the ship won't stop long.
Mm-hmm.
The natives came aboard and brought baskets which they had woven upon the island, and canes, and models of small ships. Two came aboard that interested me considerable. The Pitcairn Islanders are Seventh-day Adventists, and these two fellows spent most of their time distributing circulars amongst the passengers on the ship, magazines that had been printed in England for some 40 years previous. The magazines, these circulars, rather, were printed by some of them by the Salvation Army and then some by Seventh-day Advent societies.
Mm-hmm.
They're very religious. Their type of build varies very much from the others that inhabit the South Seas.
Are they very healthy looking?
They're very strong, rugged, robust race.
Well, I tell you what would be interesting to know, how you're going to install this equipment. Is it going to be difficult? Mr. Bellum would probably be able to tell us how difficult it will be to get the equipment up on the island.
Well, Mr. Van, I don't think we'll have much difficulty on that score. The equipment is practically all in shape. We simply have to break open the cases, and for the purpose of broadcasting, we have additional equipment that will not be left on the island, which will give us an increased power for this particular purpose. Probably the biggest job will be the setting up of the wind charger, which is mounted on a steel tower.
Mm-hmm. How long will you be there?
We hope not more than 6 weeks.
I see. And do you have to take any food supplies with you?
Yes, we have. Since we're not Seventh-day Adventists, we'd like a little meat during that 6 weeks.
I see. Well, how long... you're going to be there probably 5 or 6 weeks.
That's
and,
right.
All in all, you'll be gone probably how long?
I don't imagine we will be able to get back much before the middle of May and possibly the 1st of June. We're at the mercy of the ships.
I think it's going to be a marvelous thing for all those islanders down there to have communication with the outside world. We appreciate your being here and having this interview with you. And we certainly
hope
that you have a very bon voyage.
Thank you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to an interview with L.S. Bellum, Jr. and Granville P. Lindley, who start tomorrow on an expedition to Pitcairn Island. The expedition takes with it modern radio equipment, which will bring Pitcairn Island closer to the world, and in about 6 weeks, NBC will again bring to you, through the medium of modern radio, and Mr. Lindley, exclusive NBC programs from Pitcairn Island, 4,500 miles out in the Pacific. And you better be listening, too. Goodbye. This is the National Broadcasting Company.